What's going on, Print Hustlers? Welcome to another Print Hustler podcast. Really excited to be able to have you guys. I'm Bruce from Printava, your host. We've got our co-host, Stephen Farrig, out of Champaign, Illinois, from Campus Inc. And we've got our special, special guest today, Ryan Moore, CEO, founder Hello. Of Ryanette, All Mask, All Made, Rock Out, the list goes on. I don't have a full list. But thanks so much for joining us, Ryan.
All right, Ryan, we've been watching you through Instagram the last couple of weeks. Talk to us about what you've been up to. From the day you decided to hop on a plane and start working on masks, talk to us about that.
Well, I think it was March 6th. I was on a run, and I could see, like, hearing things, what's going to happen with COVID. I'm like, oh, man, we're going to have to pivot. What the heck could screen printers print? To keep the presses running, don't stop the presses. There's this hashtag we've been using, don't stop the presses. And then I was like, mass. And so I told three people. I told my wife, I told Ashley, who runs All Made, Ashley Metzger, and then I told Roger, one of our shareholders, another founder of All Made. And they're all like, you're crazy. No mass. They have to be approved. You can't make them out of cloth. You know, there'd be so much liabilities. And I'm like, well, I pinged one of our designers. I was like, you should start working on something in the background. But we didn't do anything. About 2 weeks later, I was talking to one of my connections in the industry, and they were like, we just got off the phone with the White House, and they want to order 500 million masks. I'm like, huh? I'm like, okay, so this is like two or three weeks before the mass insanity hit. I was like, well, if the White House is going to order 500 million masks, then we should be figuring this thing out. I pinged my buddy Dove down at Los Angeles Apparel, and I sat seeing what he was doing. He was just starting up. He designed a much different mask, started making it out of our fabric, which is a really great fabric always. And so we got the first week, I think our first order was like 5,000 masks, and like we sold out of them like a day. And so we got another order, and then the orders just like stopped coming in. So I got to go fly down there and see what's going on. And it was like a war zone. You walk in there and it was just like people flying. So I guarantee probably we've had almost 10,000 masks literally just stolen off the floor. There's people wow. running all over the place, or like, they're like, we lost 2,000 of your masks. And I'm like, yeah, yeah. And then you see some guy down the street like, I'm going to sell.
I was just grabbing boxes.
Oh, my God. Yeah, those factories, like, there's so much freight going in and out. It's, you just walk in with a brown suit and pick up a box and just, you know, leave. Like, it's not, like, probably not hard. It was a madhouse. It's the last time I went down there was way, and I haven't gone for 2 weeks, but way chiller. But the first time, I think it all hit, like, first week of April. It just went nuts.
So, like, Ryan, you were, like, basically on the floor with them doing all of that. Like, what kind of pivots did they all start making? Was it, like, we're going to figure out how to cut so differently? Was it, like, a big transition for them? Like, you're the closest to it, so.
Well, people are so, like, and you've experienced this, like, the math of the retina masks, like, the mask haters, like, they get so mad. Like, I had one guy yesterday just, like, can't believe you're selling this for that much money, and, like, so, like, just breaking down the economics of a mask, like, and this is probably one of the harder masks to make, but even, like, this, you know, this one, which is a little bit easier, like the government-style mask, it's actually a lot harder to make than a T-shirt. It uses way less fabric, way less fabric. I mean, 25 cents of fabric versus $3 of fabric on our T-shirt, you know. You have to sew this binding in. You got to put a metal piece in or elastic, sew the elastic in, get two to three tiny little pieces together, cut it, you know, sew it down here, crimp it down here. Get it all in with, it's a lot of small hand movement. So a line of like a T-shirt line of like 18 to 20 people will typically crank out between 4,000 or 5,000 T-shirts a day. A mask line of 10 people doing this style of mask might do 1,000, you know? Mm. And so that's like 25%. It's not about 25%, but it's less than 50% the productivity. Like the first day they start selling, it might be 200. I mean, it's literally getting these factories started up. I'm like, where's the mask? Like, we cut stuff like 2 weeks ago. They're like, oh, we're still figuring this thing out. Like, it takes a while to get the sewers used to doing that. And then there's just a lot of bad stuff going on. I mean, there's tons of articles that I've read that are like, this guy was making, you know, $2 to sew a t-shirt. Now he's making 25 cents to sew a mask because they think it's easier. And he's, at the end of the day, he's taking home, you know, half the amount of money. There's like a lot of illegal workers going on in LA. It's because just it's not regulated that much. So one of our factories, the cops were going in and we had to give them a special license to actually open because the cops were going around and finding all these factories that were not authorized to be open and or paying people illegally.
Wow.
Holy cow. How do you, so what about the supplies? I mean, is there an easy abundance of elastic or is everybody trying to tackle all the same producers
Ryan, here? Make the hardest mask, right? Like,
yeah, I mean, this is not a simple, you know, like, cut. Like this is as quality to it.
On the market 2 months ago, you could buy elastic for about $0.015 a yard. Now, if you wait a month, you might get it for $0.03 a yard. And I wasn't doing the math right one time, so I was like, let's order 1 million yards, get our supply chain built up. And then like this Chinese company, like, you will wire us $35,000. I was like, what? What? That's a lot of... I was like, oh, yeah. I guess that's $0.03 a yard. I'm like, dang it. Okay, never mind. Not ordering 1 million yards. How about we order like 100,000? Now it is, if you're buying mat, if you can find the elastic domestically or that can get it here, you're probably paying 19 to 30 cents a yard. Wow. So it's 10x. The reason why it's so hard to get stuff from China right now is because the airlines, one of our larger customers is chartering 747s from China. And that's how they're getting stuff in. It's $1.5 million a flight.
Wow. But and that's how they're bringing supplies from them to get it in quicker because the boats are so slow?
Oh, no, boats aren't going. It's cheaper than waiting a week to maybe get it booked on either an airline or air cargo and paying more. The fastest we've been able to get stuff out of China, like right now, air cargo has been a week.
Wow.
Holy cow.
And you're paying like 4 times to 5 times what you were going to pay like 2 months ago or last year.
So you were slinging a lot before, but clearly they were just all being bought up. I mean, what were the demand numbers looking like that you sold maybe 2-3 weeks ago compared to today?
I don't know. Like, it's changing every day. I'm actually, 2 or 3 weeks ago, we could have literally sold 1 million masks at any price. Like, there was just not enough available. I think what I've kind of dissected is like, so as I told you, the government got a heads up on this whole thing, you know, and they ordered 500 million masks. Now, domestically, we sell about 2 billion shirts a year, 2 billion. And the big players do majority of that, and they sew the majority of that sewn in Central America. So majority of the factories are doing not a lot in the U.S., like under 10% in the U.S., so that 2 billion. So 200,000 shirts in the U.S., call it. And you have Gildan and Hanes, Bell Canvas, that are most of their production is not in the U.S. So 2 billion shirts. So the government says 500 million masks, and they flood every possible actual sewing company in the United States is working for the government as of March. Now, there's a big announcement, Sanmar, Hanes, you know, there was a big press release about it, Parkdale Mills, Los Angeles Apparel, all these guys were contracted with the government, Bayside. So the government's got them locked up in this contract. Then the CDC announces that everyone should wear a mask, and then everyone goes crazy. The capacity of 200 million shirts is trying to sew 500 million masks, which is actually twice as hard as sewing a shirt. And then now every other American wants a mask privately as well, and every business wants it now. The market was just like, and literally everyone just, like a bomb went off, and like nothing happened for a week. Like, Bella Canvas was like, we're gonna launch the mask and then didn't ship anything. You know, it's like it was crazy. Like, it was just the demand was so heavy at one time, but all this capacity was already taken by the government. The awesome thing is, like, and I wish I would have done this a lot sooner, is like we turned our bluer denim jeans factories into mask making factories. And we should have done that. I should have done that first versus relying on the t-shirt factory.
Okay.
Because the t-shirt factory is the one that was already working for the government, and the government, that's why we couldn't get any capacity, because they had a contract to ship for the government. They could get us a few hundred masks out a day, but we literally needed 20 to 50,000 a day, like we're getting now. because the government contract's over. I think the demand's still there. It's definitely not as hot as, like, literally a month ago. It was insane, but I think it's still there. It's like, if you look at that early adopter curve, you have your first, like, innovators. That was, like, beginning a month and a half ago. And then you have your early adopters, your late adopters. I think we're still in the late adopters, early majority. And then we have the majority, and then we have the late majority, and then we have the laggards. So I think we're still in that rising curve in the late early adopters phase. Because you're still, and you, Steven, you're probably experiencing this because you're in the game. You're still having people pop their head up like, should I sell masks? Like, right?
Every day.
I'm thinking about that. There's going to be people like, you know, the people that are still using the rotary flip phones, you know, they're going to be like, in 2 months, they're like, I'm thinking about selling masks, you know? So it's like that curve's going really fast, but I think we're still on the rise. We're just probably like.
Ryan, do you think, like, now that, like, in my experience, like, we were getting hit up from LA and we were bringing in inventory, and now the Chinese manufacturers, the Pakistani manufacturers are all hitting us up saying 7 days, we'll get you whatever we want, half the cost. Do you think that's going to, like, you know, devalue what the American side is doing and kind of level things out a little bit and not make it so lucrative for everyone? Or,
well, it might get more lucrative. I mean, because I mean, right now, like, we were always just trying to at least make a dollar a mask, and I don't know if we're there yet. A lot of people are doing the donations, which is good. We're donating one out of every, you know, 10 that we sell, and honestly, I didn't even calculate it at the beginning, but it's another 40-50 cents a mask that we're, you know, now our cost is that much higher. I do think that the pricing will go down on. The unfortunate thing is that there's just a lot of bad masks out there. I mean, I've sampled probably 50 different masks, and everyone's coming out with just not great stuff. Those that choose to make a better mask or take a little bit more design and sell it for a little bit more, it's like the T-shirt. Like, they, for forever, there was just horrible T-shirts out there. And then finally, American Apparel came around, and then Bella Canvas and Next Level, and you have now the premium T-shirt market is, like, growing way faster than the crappy T-shirt market. But it's the same thing with the mask market. Like, there's all the big players are just making a crappy mask. I mean, they're making a cheap, a dollar, put a T-shirt over your face and elastic over your ears, and it's huge, you know, mask. Here's one that, like, I mean, that's huge.
Yeah.
Like, what went into,
like,
that
one size fits all?
What went into the design of that mask? Because yours is definitely more tailored kind of towards your face. It's more fitted. It goes around the bottom of the chin and around the nose. I mean, how did you come up with the design and the thought process of all that?
We did. I mean, Los Angeles, this is Los Angeles Apparel Design. We're doing a slightly, when we go into more production in our other factories, we're doing, we've made some different improvements to that. Mm-hmm. But this is, they started making a fitted mask. And then one of their sewers was like, we got to tuck the chin more. So they put the pleat in the bottom so it tucks around your chin. And then we've made some modifications to make this style much more printable, slightly larger to fit more different faces, and a couple different spec changes on the elastic so that it's stronger and lasts longer. American Apparel has always kind of been the forefront, you know, of designing better quality stuff at a decent price, made in America. And they did the same thing with the mask.
Interesting. That's awesome.
And the wire that's in there. It's the only mask that I've gotten so far with a wire. And that just, like, fits nicely around your nose so your glasses don't fog up. I was talking to Carson about it, and I was like, when's Supreme going to now drop a mask, right? So we're going to see all these cheap ones. But, like, they're kind of like sunglasses now. If it's going to be an accessory, I'm sure we're actually going to start to see even nicer and nicer and nicer ones, because it's something you're putting on your face and wearing all the time. So
yeah, I mean, this is the most intimate piece of clothing that we have. I mean, I was going to launch an ad yesterday, or the email title is like, because we're doing organic cotton, because we're, like, out of fabric, trying to figure out how to make T-shirts into masks.
Yeah, where do you find the fabric from, and how does that all work? I mean, if you're running out or, you know, is it just a wait time from the
nose? I mean, a lot of people are turning T-shirts into masks. And we have about three. One of our factories is looking at this mask right here is came from a T-shirt. So one of our factories is looking at turning. We have about four pallets of seconds that we typically buying them. We use them for classes or donating them, or just print practicing. And so we're looking at turning all those into it. And then we're having organic cotton. This fabric right here is a made in, like, comes from the USA. So I just ordered a bunch of this. This is like, this will look exactly like our tri-blend. So it's a 50-50, but it's 50% recycled and then 50% organic, whereas this is 50% recycled and then 50%, 25% modal and then 25% organic. So the modal makes it a little softer than this, but this is still going to be eco and it's going to look the same. Whereas if you're going with a straight cotton, organic cotton, it's going to be a straight dye. You're not going to get that heather look. You can't get that heather look, which a lot of people like the heather, you know, kind of look. But it is hard. I mean, we've gotten all the sustainable fabric that we can find because, like, that's one of our parameters is to be sustainable. So we're making more of it and then trying to figure out how to churn some of the t-shirt stuff. Because everything's shut down. All the mills are shut down. All the big factories are shut down. Central America's shut down, just opening back up. Haiti shut down, just starting to think about opening back up. So, like, basically it has been USA manufacturing for this for the last month and a half.
So Ryan, if shops like want to get into it and you know, like some of my, like Justin Lawrence was, you know, saying like, you know, tread lightly, be careful because we don't want to get, you know, I've never bought inventory before as a screen printer. I get an order, I buy the shirts, I print them. And for the first time ever, I'm like buying inventory, sitting on it, waiting a little bit. What should shops be like careful about? Like, you know, cause shops are going to watch this and they want to get into it. So like, what would you tell them is the best course of action so that, you know, they don't lose money on it, but that they're smart about it?
Well, I would not pre-sell inventory. I think that burned us. That's burned a lot of our printers that couldn't get inventory that they pre-sold from us that we pre-sold. We're now very fortunate to be in a spot where we have inventory, but still, you don't know. I mean, I literally could have somebody come in here today and buy 100,000 pieces and wipe us out. And you've pre-sold inventory that you don't have. I would spend a little bit more money on faster shipping and get them in your hands. FedEx has a really cool service for, like, we're shipping FedEx flat rate boxes for ground, like ordering smaller amounts. They get to the pretty much anywhere in the US in 2 to 3 days for like $15 or something like that. So, but for bigger orders, you have to spend a little bit more than that. And then get them in hands before you sell them, or at least make sure you have tracking on them before you sell it. Whenever you're buying inventory, you should never have more on the table than you can afford to lose. If you're gambling, you don't mortgage your house to go gamble, you know. That's when you know you have a problem. So, you know, we got maybe another 1 to 2 weeks, like you were saying, before this market is really flooded with additional, you know, product. And then it's going to be like, we're just looking at it as a, how do we continue to make our masks a differentiator from a environmentally friendly, really best, longest lasting, best fit, you know, more comfort with the story. With the All Made brand.
You talked about you had to go to the airport today. What was that about? Are you picking up more from them or?
Dude, this air cargo thing. So I started flying to LA to work with factories, but also to bring masks back because we needed to get them out immediately.
How many times in a week did you go? What was?
I went 4 times in 2 weeks.
Okay, pretty good.
And it was awesome. Flying was, no one was there. I was on a 737 with 6 people. Alaska stopped flying the big planes. They started only flying the small jets. And like the last time I took off, I saw like literally 27 737s just grounded, you know, all sitting at Portland Airport. LAX, like literally no one in security. No one's flying. It's insane. Everyone's super nice. They're grateful that you're flying. One of our founders, Mike Kahn from Synergy in Columbus, Ohio, one of our All-Made founders, he's told me about air freight for like 2 years. I've never paid attention to him. And he's like, you have to check this out. And then he, like, when he saw I was flying, he's like, I can get you air freight. I'm like, well, that's kind of a pain in the ass. You have to take it to the airport. Like, I'd rather just fly there, and I have to do other stuff down there anyway. Finally, I was like, coming to the point where my wife's like, do you really have to go again? Like, I might have to go. And she's like, can you look into other options? So I'm like, I call Mike up, like, can you help me out with this air freight thing? And I couldn't believe it. I think that first shipment we did 16 boxes. It's like, that'll be $286. I was like, huh? Like, $286? Wow. And I get it the same day. Friday, we had zero masks. Zero. And so the factory's like, we're gonna work all weekend. I'm like, well, I don't want these masks to get stolen, so let's figure out how to get them up here. So we started taking them, had them taken to the airport after they were done every night, and then they would ship the next morning. So I think Sunday we picked up 12,000 masks. Monday we picked up, the Sunday shipment, we picked up another 10,000. As of like today, we'll have almost 100,000 masks in stock in 6 days.
Holy cow.
They've all been flying air freight.
Wait, so how does the air freight work? So they just fill up the plane or the cargo? Like, is it on a passenger plane or?
75% of the weight on a plane is air freight, air cargo.
Oh, on a normal flight?
On a normal flight, yeah. So a lot of people will fly fresh food. That's how a lot of fresh food moves. Critical parts, you know, medical, Amazon. I saw tons of trucks, Amazon trucks in the air freight terminal. Like, that's how they move a lot of stuff. The ship, a box of masks, it's costing us about $19 to $20 a box air freight from LA, and overnight shipping costs somewhere between $50 and $75.
And that's unbelievable.
And ground shipping costs $17.50, $18, and we have incredible rates.
I mean, what does the prices normally look like for a cargo?
I have no idea.
It's just good right now.
I think it's more than that, but I do think Mike's told me that it's always been cheaper than expediting. He's like, it's literally almost comparable to paying a little bit more than ground, but your box get, like, when you ship it ground, I mean, these guys, it goes through a meat grinder, you know. And luckily, yeah, most of this industry ships t-shirts, and t-shirts are pretty, like, they don't get damaged that easily. But we don't ship t-shirts at our company. We ship, like, expensive printers and DGG machines and exposure units with glass. And, like, literally these boxes have to get, like, dropped from 6 feet and survive, like, the UPS meat grinder. And, like, on this air cargo, they pick it up and they take it over there and they set it down. And then it goes up this little conveyor belt onto the plane. It's, like, barely handled. They come in, like, pristine. It's insane.
And what, you go pick it up in the back of, like to the plane or what?
I don't know. I think some of the planes taxi over behind the freight terminal. Like, I see a bunch of planes lined up behind there, or they like haul it in one of the trailers over. All the airports have them. It's typically on the back or the side of the airport. It's typically by where FedEx, UPS. I mean, you're flying your domestic terminal, you always see the other FedEx and UPS and DHL. It's typically over around by then.
So really what Bruce is thinking about is the last 20 trade shows bags that you made me check. Yeah, like, I remember when we were just first starting out with you, Ryan, we would show up with, like, rented tables and chairs.
Yeah, Southwest.
Yeah, we would check, like, oh, man, we look like fools.
I mean, I had no idea. Honestly, I didn't know anything about shipping. I mean, we built software. So it was like, I mean, the little shipping we did, the UPS guy would come pick it up and be like, okay, cool. Didn't really know about having a good UPS account or, I mean, it's just like you learning about the air cargo, right? It's like... And then, yeah, we would bring suitcases on the planes and then just pay for luggage, wait for everything. And then we're like, you know, we could just ship these. And then we started shipping them. And then now this sounds like next level stuff here, although there's no trade show.
The craziest thing that's happened in this entire thing was my birthday, April 15th, my birthday. And then I was like, all I want for my birthday is some masks. Like, this is the point, like, we hadn't gotten masks for like 3 days. And... like, I have one customer that is literally calling me, freaking out. Like you're going to shut my business down. I have to get 400 masks to Notre Dame tomorrow, or they are going to sue us. I mean, I don't know what they said, but they're like, the world will end. This is out of my control. I don't sew the masks personally. We don't sew them here. So, but I, like, asked please, please, please get, like, some masks. It's my birthday. Like, I sent the videos, like, my birthday, please give me masks. And then at 9 o'clock at night, they're like, we have 400 masks done for you. I'm like, thank God. So I had one of our rock techs, Jerry Barra, in LA, drive down to the factory at 11 o'clock at night. He picks it up, goes to the airport at 4:30 in the morning, pretend like he's going to get on a plane to Chicago, just checks a bag, never gets on the plane, and then the customer picks it up the next day at 10 a.m.
Oh, wait, allegedly. This is allegedly this happened.
Allegedly.
No, this seriously happened. And then the customer just picks it up from the air cargo, and he's got the mask, and he gives them to Notre Dame, and the world is saved.
That's incredible. What is like the next month looking like? Like, is the supply chain catching up where the big companies are starting, like the 3Ms of the world and stuff, are starting to be able to pump in? Or you think it's just more of a brand play now where you create your niche and you this is just a part of the catalog? It's a new product.
I think it's part of the catalog, probably from here on out, kind of like a hat. It could have as much play as a hat does. All the big players will be in it. Most of the big players, the big players, the mid-sized players will start to bring inventory to market in the next 2 weeks. A lot of stuff coming in from overseas, but the big players will have stuff in about a month still. It'll be like the t-shirt market. You'll be able to buy a mask for a buck or buy a mask for $5. It's just the same as t-shirts. And you're probably going to get what you pay for out of both.
You're running like a large company, and then you're also doing this. Talk about like, probably under a decent amount of, pressure to make sure that your company is doing well and everything like that, and there's a future there. But at the same time, you're doing this from like a leadership standpoint. What's important to you every day when you're waking up? Like, you've got employees, you're trying to sling masks. Like, talk to us a little about that. You're trying to be a dad, you're like, you got a lot of stuff, a lot more than Bruce and I have going on. So talk to us about that.
The best thing that you can do is like, I was in one of my leadership like meetings yesterday's, put your air mask on first and then help your neighbor. So make sure that you're mentally clear and positive and motivated, and you're not in a bad mindset, so that you're charging forward and setting a good example. Our team has really been awesome. I mean, we had to unfortunately lay off 25% of our team off when this hit immediately. We had to our revenue went down 80% like in a day. And so we made some cuts. Wow. We were gonna have to furlough about 50% of the time the rest of the team. Mm-hmm. So 50% of the team we were gonna do half time, and then 25% we had to do layoff, and then 25% we kept on at a salary reduction. Fortunately, we were starting to bring people back, and we have not had to do any part time. Everyone's been busy enough with PPE, and then the Ryanet team's been done awesome with fulfilling new presses that are lower price point, platins for mass education, just different things. We've been lucky. Like, I think you kind of create your own destiny by deciding what you're going to do. Are you going to lay down and roll over and be like, the government says you're not essential, or are you going to figure out how to be essential and then figure out how you're essential to your customers as well and helping them be essential? I'm just very grateful. I think being grateful, because like, even like myself, I'm like on this roller coaster. Like, some days it's like, oh, you're like down at the bottom. You're like, God, oh, like not having a good day. And then some days you're like, really. So how do you get back up on top? And being grateful, like, I was so like frustrated that people were so upset that like they didn't understand this whole mask issue. And then I had to remind myself, like, they just don't understand. So I was still like making sure that I was being grateful to like, yeah, you love 100,000 masks. Thank you so much for that opportunity. They're like, I would love to give you 100,000 masks, but there's no physical possible way in the world that could happen right now, but, thank you. Like, really appreciate you like reaching out. And so I think being grateful, and then I've been exercising a lot. We've been having Scrum meetings. Like, I don't know if you run Scrum, Bruce, but mm-hmm. every project's a Scrum now. Like, so we have like, throughout the company, there's probably 10 scrums that happen every day. And I think that's been really helpful virtually to be able to have those teams check in, get motivated, get communicated with, but daily.
Down to like the shops level, like it's an opportunity for shops to also like re-energize, pivot, find new things that they didn't know existed. Like, we saw the huge blip with merch like doing really well. But, I think like what you kind of said, Ryan, earlier is like the landscape of things is going to change, and we don't know how long that's going to be for, but there's so many talents that our industry has. I think it's just so important for shop owners to like, I think someone said it, like the same fire you had when you were trying to keep your doors open when you first started, like needs to be the same invigorating power that like you have now. And that might be to reinvent. But I think the one thing that I've really taken away from what you've done, Ryan, is through tough times, you've like, you're creating new relationships as well. This is where, shops can do nice things for their customers, and that's where they're going to remember them like the most, right? When this is all over, you were there for me, you sent me a thank you card, you checked it, you know what I mean? And so I think there's so much that we see that you're doing And that needs to, you know, we need to do that as an industry as well. And everyone's doing it. But I think that's awesome.
Thank you. I'm super grateful to be in the position to actually have something to do. We've been very fortunate, and we have awesome, amazing customers and partners. And so thank you for talking about it and giving it some visibility. But 100% agree. You have been doing awesome as well. And Bruce, you as like, well, like, totally changing your platforms, keeping a really positive attitude, not paying attention to the negative BS, and building new, you know, websites to enable other people to do things that they wouldn't necessarily be able to do on their own. It's freaking great. It's awesome.
Heck yeah, we're pumped. Thank you for joining us, Ryan. This story has been incredible. It's gonna be awesome. Keep putting out those IGTV episodes. Those are kind of fun to watch.
I will definitely try to do that. Thank you
for I noticed the frequency, but the content's hard. Yeah. It's hard to like keep
Do you
up.
Edit those? Are those all your own?
So I've edited probably about 80%. And then my brother-in-law, Justin Koo, is a very like talented videographer that has his own kind of podcast. And he's been doing... he went to LA with me once, but he has a team that he works with in the Philippines that I've had edit three of them for me. And they are amazing. Like this last one I did, I went to the food bank and I just took video with my phone and then I sent it to him. I recorded a video. I'm like, hey, this is kind of what I want to see out of this and blah, blah, blah. And they're like, they send it back and I had three edits and it was awesome. Like, so I think I'm going to definitely try to hone that relationship in, because I'm not a very good video editor. It is fun though. I mean, it's different.
That was the one that where he went and filmed it professionally. That was your brother-in-law, you said?
Yeah.
Okay. That was really good. I mean, especially the way that he formatted. If you guys haven't seen it, you can follow him at Ryan Moore on Instagram. No E. And I don't know, it was like episode 3 or 4 or something, but it was, you had the videographer with you when you went to LA. But anyway, you guys can watch it. They're really neat to just be able to see behind the scenes of all this in the factory, outside the factory, back and forth. So
I had him do one for Alaska Airlines mm-hmm. because I'm a huge fan of Alaska Airlines. He did one and then I gave it to their team and then they're going to publish it on their channel, which their channels are huge, on Monday. And so we'll knock on wood. They said they were going to do it. Like you as a person, you can get visibility by giving other people visibility. Don't just make videos for yourself. Make videos for other people, which actually will give you more visibility. I printed ASI a mask in red, and I like held it out and took a picture of it. And they've been posting it everywhere. Like this, Tim Andrews, the CEO, is like, check out what Ryan's doing. I did the same thing for impressions. Like if you have the idea of getting in front of somebody, now's the time to do it, because they're probably sitting there waiting for something cool to show, you know? And there's so much opportunity right now to get like just an amazing visibility. But you do it through helping other people, not just by doing it for yourself.
100%. Well, that's awesome. Thanks for sharing, Ryan. This has been really great.
Thank you guys for having me.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for joining us for the Print Hustlers Podcast. We'll see you guys next week.